All right, how's it going, everybody? Gloves Off Radio back on the air. It is Ian, your host. Joining me tonight on the show is Mike. Mike, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing very good. Hockey's back.
It is back, and we are here to talk about it. Joining us on the show tonight is our third man, and is not Ken. It is a friend of Mike by the name of Andy. Andy, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Mike, do you want to tell us a little bit about how you know Andy before we get too far into the show here tonight?
Oh, I used to get drunk with Andy in high school and get into shitloads of trouble and chase a bunch of women with him and all that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Had some really good times. Known Andy, well, not to mention our age or anything, but yeah, over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
From so a long time.
Okay, so we don't want to out Andy if he's married about his drinking and womenizing ways.
Oh, we don't do that anymore because we're married.
Oh. Well, all right then, never mind. All right, well, Andy, I'll throw it over to you. You want to tell us a little about yourself, just how long you've been a fan, stuff like that, quickly?
Oh, yeah, very good. I've been a Blackhawks fan my whole life. My dad used to play hockey in the city of Chicago for the Golden Jets. And, you know, I'm a huge Steve Ballmer fan. I think his number needs to be retired. You know, go way back, even through the rough years. I'm a season ticket holder since 2002, and I was happy to be there when they released the banner.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I guess let's start off with, obviously, the best thing to start off with, the first game of the year. It took place on Saturday, January 19th, against the Los Angeles Kings in L.A. Final score in that game was 5-2 Blackhawks. And before we get into the ins and outs of the game, I know, Mike, you were tweeting on our official Twitter account of Gloves Off Radio that you were a little PO'd about the opening ceremony taking forever. It was seemingly like a half hour or 35 minutes, whatever it was. That was unbearable.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have complained that much if it was the Blackhawks, but I don't remember the Blackhawks announcing everybody twice. That was starting to piss me off. I mean, yeah, I understand when they had the ring ceremony going on, but then everybody who touched the damn cup got their name announced again. I was like, come on, we're going to go through this shit again? I'm like, you know, it's kind of cool to see the Kings do it, but when they started announcing everybody's name when they had the cup for the last time, that was starting to irritate me. And it wasn't just me. I saw a lot of hockey fans that listen to us that are not Blackhawk fans. They're saying the same thing, like, all right, come on, they're dragging this shit on just a little too much. But I did notice, you know, Bettman did not show his face in any opening day ceremonies, which he usually does.
Well, with good reason. Yeah, I don't think he wants to be assaulted and or booed.
I wanted to see people throwing batteries at him.
Well, they do have the nets up at two ends, so he might have a chance of ducking some of those batteries now. All right.
Yeah.
So I guess let's start with the game here. As mentioned, 5-2, Blackhawks won the game. Blackhawk goals in the game scored by Patrick Kane, Marian Hossa, Michael Frolik, Jonathan Toews, and once again, Marian Hossa is second of the game. Blackhawks even had a extremely rare, or perhaps not so rare this season, power play goal in the game, which was the first goal of the game on a 5-on-3. You know, last season the Blackhawks had a lot of issues as far as the power play is concerned. They fired Mike Haviland, who may or may not have had much of a role in the power play, which is, I guess, another discussion for later in the show. So, obviously, a lot of eyes were going to be on the power play early in the season to kind of see how they performed. And thus far, they've managed to get a goal in every game, to the best of my knowledge here. Any thoughts quickly on how the power play performed in this game? Andy, let's go to you.
You know, honestly, I still saw the same old from last year. They kept trying to go to that backdoor play. You know, the play that they tried, you know,
every game.
Campbell over and over again. It absolutely drove me nuts. Pat Kane, you know, down out, you know, off to the side, skating, looking for that beautiful pass across the ice, you know, that blind backdoor play. And I got a little frustrated, you know, seeing the same thing over and over.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that. Trying to cycle the puck, but I mean, it's like it does look like the same play. I don't know. I thought that first game, it's not so much how many goals they're scoring, it's at least how those power players are going.
Well, and it's shots on goal, right, Mike? And if you remember, our first power play was what? It was a 5-on-3. And yeah. They managed one shot there for a while. And it's very frustrating because – but then again, you kind of saw the pace pick up to, as we got a couple more power plays. But again, it's this fascination with the perfect pass, the perfect play, what I call the pretty play. And I hate to compare us to Vancouver, but let's face it, over the last 3 years, Vancouver's had a top power play. They hammer it. Pass, shoot. Shoot, pass. Our guys seem to pass. They all seem to defer, almost trying to be polite with one another.
Well, yeah, that's because they got a different type of team. They're not, the Blackhawks, like you said, trying to make the pretty pass and the pretty goal and all that shit. Vancouver just throws it at the net, hoping for a juicy rebound, which guys like Crawford gives up all the time. Then they get there and beat the shit out of people, just trying to get an ugly goal.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mike. I know if I was playing against the Blackhawks, I would just shoot it low against Crawford because you know he's going to kick it right in front and some could go top shelf against him.
Yeah. I wasn't too disappointed with the power play that game just because, it's the L.A. Kings, and part of the reason they won the Cup is because of their penalty kill. Now, granted, they weren't that great that night, but you know what? They handled L.A. pretty damn good that night, so I wasn't going to complain that night about the power play. I was getting pissed off in the last game until they started scoring.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. The one thing against the Kings that really surprised me was it was the transition passing, and that was the thing that drove us nuts last year was, the turnovers mid-zone, the breaks weren't clean. Against L.A., I kept wanting to yell at Hjalmarsson. I wanted to yell at Letty. I wanted to yell at Frolik, and I was like, wow, the passing's really good. Wow, the breaks are really good. The transition game's good. And they played at pace where, they really made the Kings look like they were playing in cement. five on five, especially the Bolin line, Bolin, Kane, and Sharp, they looked like they were on the power play the entire time.
How huge is that now, Ian? And Andy, for what, 2 years now, they've been trying to figure out who the hell is a second line center? Oh, we can't get a second line center. Nope. Can't fit him in there. Not in the salary cap. Can't pick anybody up. Can't make a trade. No, we'll try this. But, and I did say it before. I wasn't too hard on it last year, but I said, why not move Boland up? Everybody kept saying, no, that's his line. Third line. That's him. He's got the checking line. No, he's the agitator. Keep him there. All right. Well, you move him up the second line center, which that solves your problem. As far as I see right now, you can't find one. You got one right there. Keep them there. You know what? Why don't you go look for a third line center?
Yeah, totally agree. And he's getting paid like a second line center. And I think Bolin has all the skill. And actually, before he came to the Hawks, Bolin was known as a scoring center. He took the role of more of that defensive-minded center because he knew that that's the quickest way that he could stick with the Hawks. And, of course, I think sometimes when Bolin got on a roll, Pavel Kubina with the, elbow to the head, he's kind of had a couple injuries here and there when he's gotten hot. But he looks really comfortable now. And, Mike, I totally agree with you. I love what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I'd like to keep it there. It's, like I said, you can't just go out there for a wish list and try to get a number two center. I actually thought they could have, who the hell was a free agent they didn't pick up? Which he may even still be a free agent.
Jason Arnott?
Yes. Where did he end up signing?
I don't think he has. You know what, while we're talking here, I'll look it up real quick.
How the hell did he not sign anywhere? Is he asking for like $6 million a year or what?
I don't think so. At this point in his career, he's a 1 year type player. He played with the Blues last year.
Yeah, that'd be a real nice 1 year deal for the Hawks, I thought.
And he is still a free agent based on what I'm seeing here. So now I'm kind of surprised he scored 34 points last year with the Blues with 17 goals. 26 pins. He was below average in the playoffs. He doesn't hurt. He's decent from the dot. But on the flip side, though, the type of game that we play, I'd much rather see an Andrew Shaw or a Marcus Kruger step up and consistently win those faceoffs like they did the last game. So,
speaking of Shaw, I like Shaw, but can we get him off the power play? I didn't see anything. If you're going to bitch about the power play, that's one thing I saw with him I didn't like.
In this game, well, in the game we're talking about, the Kings game, Shaw played 4 minutes and 12 seconds on the power play in this game here. You know, one thing I kind of want to talk about was, so in this game, the Hawks got out to a 4-0 lead. LA scored the next 2 goals to make it, obviously, 4-2, and the Hawks got a goal to make it 5-2, obviously. One thing that we've kind of talked about a lot on this show and, of course, previous shows as well, is the Hawks kind of seem to kind of go into a little bit of a shell late in the game, kind of once they get the lead. Do you think that was the case in this game here, or do you think it was just really a case of where LA kind of woke up a little bit late in the game, but it was kind of too little too late for them in this one?
No, I'm not going to prejudge on that. I mean, like I said, I was impressed overall just because, I mean, you're playing the Kings. Even though, yeah, it was ring night and banner night and a lot of teams end up getting their ass kicked that night, which I know they do because the Blackhawks, I remember, got their ass kicked on banner night. I was at the White Sox game. I don't remember who they were playing, but they got their ass kicked the day they got their rings. Most teams do, but still, I mean, the LA Kings, and they are built the way teams end up beating the Blackhawks. They know how to break the Blackhawks system, especially last year when they had no size, no strength, no grit. You can, I mean, if you start knocking a shit out of little guys, you're going to break up their game. And LA tried doing that, yeah, and they did out hit the Hawks, but the Hawks hit them back a little bit. But I don't know. I don't think they were laying down. It's, I mean, they're Stanley Cup champs they're playing against. I was proud that day.
Yeah, I agree. It, especially the way Pat Kane came out, and boy, he looked like midseason form. Looked like a guy in a tear. In a couple of those goals, I'm not a huge Corey Crawford fan, and I'm not. You know, I think at least one of those goals should have been stopped. I think it's almost automatic that, you know, when you're entering second half of the game, and if the Hawks have a shutout going, you know, me and Mike often, you know, text one another, you know, a Crawford softie's coming. And, you know, I hate to bang on the guy, but I think in order for the Hawks to win the Cup this year, fellas, you know, I think we need to improve in goal, you know, and I don't think Crawford's the answer. So I don't know if it's a good transition for what you asked there, but, yeah, we won, what was the final score of the Kings game, 6-2? 5-2, okay. So, you know, and then the next night against Phoenix, obviously, you know, Razor, you know, gave up a couple soft ones as well, and we got a little nervous there. But, yeah, I don't like our goaltending. And I know we're 4-0, and a lot of fans will say, oh, yeah, you're good. Nitpick, and I have no confidence in Crawford.
No, I don't. And the reason I don't is something I started talking about on Twitter without mentioning it, and people were getting on me already. Might have been a Blues game. I pretty much mentioned without saying, I would like to see the Blackhawks do something that they didn't do at all last year. And people knew I was talking about the shutout. Now, what the fuck kind of goalie, what kind of Stanley Cup goalie is not capable of getting a shutout? Have you ever heard of that?
Exactly, Mike. And if you look at the game against St. Louis, everyone, you know, Quinville, you could kind of tell in a little bit of Quinville's little media play how he really jumped that, oh, they had 10 quality scoring chances and Crawford was great. No, I didn't see that. I saw juicy rebounds. I saw a goalie that was dropping too early as usual. And then last night against Dallas, you know, very, very similar. You know, it just aggravated me. You know, some of them goals, especially between the wickets, and, you know, Duncan Keith saved him on one. He just doesn't make this save when the team really needs it, when momentum is shifted towards the opposition's favor. Crawford rarely comes up aces.
No, he had two, well, 1.5 goals last night. Like I said, the one cheapie he gave up slid through his legs real slow through the 5-hole. And the second one, Duncan Keith took away. That would have been a goal because the time was there and it was going to go over the line. But it was the same exact way that the other cheap one happened. Now, I would have been fucking fuming and throwing shit if that would have been the second cheap goal he gave up. Because they would have lost that game if that goal would have went over.
And what and look at the timing of that goal that Dunk saved, right? There was 1.4 seconds left. And then in the first period that Shorty, granted, you know, it's not always the goalie's fault on a shorty, but I thought he could have stopped that. I didn't think that was, you know, that impressive of a shot. And that was within, what, 1 second as well. And one of the things that always plagued this team is that last minute of the period, and you know, this team has definitely had some mental lapses. So, I know there's some rumors out there, fellas, and I'm sure you've heard them too, you know, whether it be, making a trade with Ottawa, which I don't really see anything there that we need. You know, the big thing that we're hearing now, Luongo, you know, Luongo coming to Chicago.
I don't like it.
I don't like the contract, but you know, McDonough and the Blackhawks marketing machine would love to have him just because it's the whole, you know, the bad guy coming to the good guy team or whatnot. But what I'm hearing
he's a bad guy. He's the idiot.
Well, exactly. But look at it from a Hawks standpoint, right? From a jersey sales standpoint, from a name recognition. If Vancouver buys him out, Luongo's a free agent. He can sign with whoever he wants. And who would he want to go to piss everyone off that is kind of, you know, in Vancouver? He'd come to Chicago. Or he could go back to Florida where his wife's from, and he could go live in Miami and, you know, play out his career or whatever. And, you know,
I don't think Dale Talon even wants him.
I think everyone would want him at $1 to $2 million a year, because if he gets bought out, you could get him cheap. Now, that being said, is he an upgrade over Crawford? Hell yes. His playoff save percentage is almost identical to his season save percentage. Crawford in the playoffs against Phoenix. Come on, man. Mike, me and you could have scored goals against him in overtime. I mean, the kid doesn't have it. He's a good backup. All right. And if we could get Luongo, if we could get him, you know, at a cheap deal, fine. But I'm not trading for him. I'm not taking that Albatross contract. There's no way.
I still don't like Luongo.
Remember, guys, the cap's going down $5 million next year. And if you look at Vancouver's current roster, they have a lot of guys to re-sign for next year. They're going to have trouble making it under. They have over $9 million committed to the goalie position. That's retarded. They're not, because everyone knows that Vancouver's going to dump Luongo.
All right, so, well, here's my question. You're a little more up to date on this CBA thing. What's it going to cost Vancouver to buy him out?
That I don't know. I know in the old CBA, you take that contract, you cut it in half, and then they're stuck with it for the remainder of the years. But I'm not an expert on that at all. I just know that if they do cut bait, he's a free agent, just like Gomez. Gomez just signed with the Sharks for, what, $700K?
Yeah, it wasn't a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's because he really fucked somebody over when he signed his deal. That's why.
he got his big contract and he did what the Russians do, except he ate enchiladas and burritos.
Yeah,
appreciate that one, Mike.
Yep, that's what people are saying. You know, there are questions out there. Would you want him? No. Right. He got bought out because he's bad at hockey. What, do you think he's going to be getting paid his money for getting bought out and get added money onto it? He's going to play any harder? No. He sucks.
So I guess I'm going to throw it back at you, Ian, and I'll throw it back at you, Mike. You know, obviously I've been very harsh on Crawford. Emery can't hold up for a whole season. And I know that the goalies are a little behind, just kind of like, you know, pitchers and hitters with baseball. What do you guys think? Do you guys think Crawford could take us to the promised land?
No. No.
I will say no unless they outscore everybody. Which obviously does not speak well of him. But
it looked good in the Kings game because it kind of reminded me of like in 2010 when the Hawks won the Cup and Huey was playing and they didn't let him see the puck. I mean, the Hawks would allow like 15 shots. You would be at a Hawks game and for like 5 minutes straight, Huey wouldn't see any action. All of a sudden, there's a slap shot from the fucking blue line because that's all they can get on him. And everybody's just like, you know, sarcastic cheers. Hey, Huey, you did something. All right, wake up. You know, that's pretty much what it was like. When Huey played, it seemed like that defense turned it up more. And they're like, okay, we know we have to keep the puck away from this fucking guy. I mean, that was even against the Oilers. That's what I was talking about. I was at a game against the Oilers, and they just kicked their ass bad. I mean, I think the score was only like 4-1, but still, if you look at the stats, you look at the shots on goal and all that, just looking at shots on goal, it was ridiculous. The Hawks had like 40 shots on goal, and Edmonton had about 15 total. And literally, there was not much going on in the Hawks zone.
Just going back quickly to wrap up this Kings game, talk about shots on goal. So it was the Hawks had 22 to the Kings only 21, which is interesting. Obviously, we talked about the final score being 5-2.
And then one of that changed in the second and third. No, that changed. A lot of that stat changed in the third period. They weren't letting the Kings do much the first two periods. I remember that.
Well, yeah, the box scores got it. The Kings had 8 shots in the first, 6 in the second, and 7 in the third. And the Hawks had 9 in the first, 5 in the second, and 8 in the third.
Okay, well, my theory don't fucking match up then.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Then I guess one last thing I wanted to touch on in this game, and I guess we can touch about it also in the other games as well, is early on, I guess, there's been a little bit of an effort here to try to limit the minutes of Keith and Seabrook, because obviously when the shit hits the fan, they're the two guys who are always out there. In this game alone, Keith had 22-44, Seabrook had 23-11, and then
23-01.
Oh, I'm sorry, 23-01. I'm sorry. The Skype stopped for a second, so I looked up to see what it was. I'm sorry, 23-01, and then Johnny Oduya had 21-26.
Wow.
Yeah. And then even Jalmerson had 21-03. So at least somewhat early on, obviously in the one game we're talking about here. The minutes seem to be a little evenly distributed, a little bit better.
That's much better.
And it changed a little bit last night. Keith got 26 minutes last night, but yeah, it's been even. And if you guys notice, I think the big thing about the Hawks and the system that they play, when you're not MFing them and screaming at them or you're not noticing them, it means they're having a good game. And Oduya is like, he's like one of those guys where it's like, wow, he played almost, you know, 22 minutes. I don't really remember him being out there too much, but that usually means he's doing a damn good job.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy, well, maybe we should wait till we get further along the line with some of these games, but a couple other defensemen we got to talk about and give props to, because I'll tell you what, the Hawks got a nice fucking three set of defensemen going on here that they're rolling.
All right.
Well, I tell you what, me and Mike, we talk a lot, and we both want to ship Letty out to Siberia last year. But I tell you what, I got to give him props. He's been somewhat consistent at Rockford. You know, Chris Block, who's saying, I think. Is the CBA and the whole, the strike conversation was winding down. You know, you could tell he started looking more towards, hey, can't wait for the season to start. He had a couple rough games with the Pigs. But for the most part, man, his skating, he's finally realizing that he's one of the faster guys on the ice. He showed it time and time again where instead of, last year, I think he would have stopped and tried to pass it. To get it across center ice, but now he's like, boom, I'm just going to truck it. And he's almost having those Brian Campbell like one-on-one plays, those kind of, you know, weaker, not, you know, high-end scoring chances with the goalie, but at least it gets that face-off, you know, deep into the zone. I couldn't be more happy with him, especially on the third pair.
Fuck, last night he went behind the net. I mean, carrying a puck with one hand and fending guys off with another one, went behind the net to make a pass, then went back out to play his position. I'm looking at that, I'm like, holy shit, that's Duncan Keith shit there when they need it. Talk about going deep into the zone. Okay, anybody?
No,
that was almost a sigh.
No, you know what? No, I am terrified about my computer screwing up the recording. It keeps making stopping on me, and it's freaking me out, but it's okay. All right, so let's move on to the next game. Sunday, January 20th, against the Coyotes in Phoenix. Blackhawks win the game, final score of 6-4. Blackhawk goals in the game, a power play goal by David Boland, Patrick Sharp, Marian Hossa, a friend of the show, Victor Stahlberg, of course.
by Amy.
That's right. Marian Hossa had his fourth goal in this game, and David Boland had his second goal also in this game as well. We also had a fight in this game. Brandon Bolig took on Paul Bissonnette in a scrap. I did not see this fight. I was getting married this day, so I have no idea what happened. Was this a good fight? Was this an ass-kicking on one side or the other, Mike?
No, this was staged. I think these fucking fights are staged.
It's pro wrestling.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know how many games I've watched versus games, and I can't watch NHL Network games because AT&T hates fucking hockey. But anyway, I watch Hawk games, and I watch games on NBC Sports, old versus. But seems like within the first 5 minutes, the two goons from each team, or the goon and some rookie tough guy, they drop the gloves. And they're not killing each other. There's no bloody faces, and there's hand patting, or just like Bolig and Bissonnette, you know, they're fucking, no, that wasn't Bolig, that was Bolig and somebody from the Blues pat each other in the back of the head.
Bolig
and Chris Stewart,
Bissonnette fought.
But I really think Bissonnette and Bolig, I mean, they Bissonnette probably got the better of him, but it wasn't one of those where, oh, he fucked him up. It was more like, there was some punches landed by both of them, but, I'm going to give it to Bissonnette because he's a veteran, pretty much. You know, Bolig was able to hang with him, which was nice, but I still thought it was fucking, I still thought it was staged.
I know what you mean. I know what you're saying, you know, very similar to the fight, you know, with, you know, against St. Louis, meaning that it was a meaningless fight. It was almost kind of like, hey, Bullock's like, hey, I'm trying to stay up here. I got to keep my contract. You give me a good go, you know, kind of going. I don't want to go back to Rockford type thing. I see those types of fights where they're random. You know, they're not after a big hit or they don't justify, you know, a cheap shot, you know, on maybe a, you know, a previous shift or whatever. So I could see what you're saying there. This is one of those randoms, you know, it's real quick in the second period. Same thing with the Blues fight.
The Blues fight was different, though. I think that thing started just to slow things down because the Blues weren't used to playing the Blackhawks style of hockey. Dude, that was nice hockey they were playing. Yeah, it was just fucking nonstop fast, and I think that was one of those where, okay, we're supposed to fight to get the crowd jacked up here, and now's a good time to do it.
Yeah, I agree. We'll finish this game out. I got a lot of interesting opinions about the Blues, but I know what you mean about staged. The fight was almost pointless. I guess is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah,
it was just okay. A fight that.
What's going on, man? You keep cutting out, Andy.
You guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you okay. It's not like you kind of cut out there for a couple seconds. I don't know if you have a Internet Explorer window open or something like that. Sometimes that kind of slows down the computer sometimes if you have one of those open in the background.
Right. So more about this Yotes game. The Yotes game, I was pretty happy with that. I was glad to see him kick their ass. Dave Bowen drove Shane Doan crazy. He's a dick agitator, and I think he was starting to get the best of Shane Doan.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He had a meltdown in the third period. That's exactly what you want to see. Same thing with
Mike Smith. Mike Smith had one jag off.
But just quickly to finish up this game, the Hawks had 31 shots to the Phoenix 29. I believe Andy mentioned earlier, Ray Emery got the start in this game, and of course the win. I don't know if anything really of note on the ice time of... No, I don't think so. So we're done with that one, unless you guys have any other commentary on that game. I didn't see it, so I don't have anything to offer, but...
Well,
no,
you know,
go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say, I think the big thing was Aduya, had the most minutes, which I love seeing. You know, Keith and Yalmerson and Seabrook had light minutes, which is always good. You know, I'm always concerned. You know, Duncan Keith is definitely, my personal favorite player. And, but he's a lighter guy. He's built like a pit bull. So, and to not have that wear and tear in him, especially in this compact season, I think is huge. So... the minutes were definitely spread around, which I like seeing. A couple of those goals, though, were pretty funny against Smith, and seeing him lose his noodle, I think.
Oh, man, he pulled the old Cristobal UA and breaking his stick on the goalpost.
All right, so let's jump over to the home opener. It took place on Tuesday, January 22nd. Hawks against the Blues. Hawks win the game, final score of 3-2. Goals in the game from Patrick Kane, Brent Seabrook, and once again, Victor Stahlberg. Crawford got the start and, of course, the win. St. Louis outshoots the Blackhawks 34-27. Mostly that came in the third period where St. Louis had a 16-9 shot advantage. Andy, you got a lot to say about the game. Let's throw it to you first.
You know, the thing that impressed me the most was actually the St. Louis Blues. They actually played at pace with us, which actually scared me. In the past, when you went into St. Louis, you knew it was going to be a physical game. They were going to physically beat us up. We're going to have to make the most of our opportunities. The thing with the Blues this time around, they actually skated with us. They had a lot of odd man rushes. They were able to play at pace. Which actually made me happy because I don't want to play physical teams because that just means that, my guys get hurt and that's not the style we play. So hats off to Hitchcock. That team is going to be a beast. And I'm glad we got out of there with a win. But that being said, that's a tough-ass team, no doubt.
And they got two good goalies. Did you hear Hitchcock before the game? Talking about the opener and the building and all that, and Comcast tries, talking about the crowd with him, which they always do, which gets really annoying. And Hitchcock really just, says it flat out. He's like, well, usually we get our ass kicked in this building, but I don't like that one when I heard it out of him. I usually get our ass kicked in this building, but, we're going to try our best. Yeah, that team is, they got that, that rushing and play. I'm interested to see what he can do. I forget his damn name.
Tereshchenko.
Yes. He's pretty good. Well, the Hawks shut him down pretty good. I thought so. But, this game, Crawford scared shit out of me a lot, but overall, I thought he played a really good game. Especially against them, because I think they're the best team we've faced so far.
Yeah, I totally agree. I also had some concerns as well, especially with Brandon Saad. It's one thing that we haven't talked about yet, and I want to kind of hold my opinion until we got to that game, game three. And, you know, Saad playing with Taves and Hossa, he needs to be back at Rockford. I hate to say it. You know, whether that means that Stalwart moves up, I'd like to hear both of your opinion on that. But Saad's not ready. And like a lot of the bloggers like JJ from the Hockey Buzz and a lot of other people think that they're just trying to shove this kid down our throat because he's the next 19, 20-year-old and it's a marketing thing. He doesn't play to his size. He's inefficient with the puck. You know, he looks lost with it at times. His shots are meaningless. I'm not saying the kid doesn't have talent. I honestly, he absolutely does. But he should be getting top-level minutes at Rockford. I'm hard-pressed to believe that, you know, Brandon Perrie, you know, can't be up here even more. And I just think there's better options. I think this is a marketing play that's being, shoved down Q's face.
Well, we're going to find out real quick because he should be sent down. I hate to say it. I like the kid. I really want to see him succeed, but I don't know if he's ready. Rockford might be a good play. He's really never, he played juniors last year, didn't he?
Yep, he lit juniors up, too. He destroyed juniors.
Well, and you know what? Let him let up Rockford for a while.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a couple guys down there that have been playing well, but you know what? You know, it goes back to, you know, what's going on at Rockford and what's actually happening and who's pulling the strings, because I sure know that, you know, Ted Dent, the head coach at Rockford, has very little say over who he gets to play each night. And
we'll say that for after Dallas. I want to get into that one. Yeah, we'll say that for after Dallas.
You got it.
I agree with you. Saad probably should be sent down. But you know what? I'm getting so frustrated with Carcillo because everybody keeps saying he can play, and we see it every once in a while. But then he fucking gets hurt. So I'm trying to believe that he can actually play, because when he got here – and right now, I just think he's an idiot.
You know what, Mike? Yeah, did you ever hear of the myth known as Sasquatch or Bigfoot? It's Dan Carcillo.
The problem is people push him around. You know what? And Ken brought up a real good point. Ken brought up a good point on this show before, which Ken hates Carcillo. He fucking hates him with a passion. And you know what? He's supposed to be a tough guy. Whose ass is he kicking?
Yeah, who's he beat up? Who's scared of Dan Carcillo? I mean, I remember when
the Hawks played the Flyers in the Stanley Cup Finals. I forget who the hell the announcers were. I think it was Doc Emmerich was saying this, just being a dick. And this is when I started calling it Doc Emmerich, because he's saying, well, here's Carcillo, and they're dressing him tonight, and he is just being used as a human cannonball. I'm like, he's an idiot. He's not a human cannonball. I remember Burris was driving him fucking crazy, too, man. They're skating around in the skate around before the puck drops. And every time Burris skates past me, he's just laughing at him and staring him in the face.
I don't see Danny keeping up with Adam Vanilak. That's the one thing about Burr that most people don't realize is, you know, he would get people's resume and figure out where they went to kindergarten, and then he would call
their teachers.
You know, figure out like if you were a bedwetter or not. So that's one Hawk that I wish was still a Hawk, but I'm glad he got his $1.875 million with the Sharks. Doug Wilson's a sucker, so whatever.
Yeah. What was the best line? I remember Adam Burrish saying he went up to one of the Sedin sisters and says, your brother's ugly.
Hey, hey. That's funny.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back to something that you had brought up, Andy. Obviously, Saad was getting a chance to play because Carcillo was injured here. To me, I mean, if Saad's going to be here, he's got to play those top-line minutes, as you said. Obviously, he probably would need some more better in Rockford, but they're going to have to make a decision on him soon, because if he plays a few more games, they're going to burn a year off his contract. So they're going to have to decide whether they want him up here or not. So maybe, I mean, to your point, that might play into whatever is going on down in Rockford and whether or not they want to bring up somebody from down there. Because obviously now with Carcillo being out, you know, we saw, I think it was yesterday that Jamal Mayers played in that game. Or perhaps it was a game before I was thinking of, but I know Mayers finally got back into the lineup. It was interesting because it seemed like they put Sod on the team because he had a really good training camp, but then in the first game he didn't play. So, you know, perhaps to your point, there's a little bit of a tug of war there between, you know, Bowman and what his people want to do and what Quenneville wants to do. But I guess time will tell in terms of what they'll do on that. Andy, did you go to this game, the home opener?
No, I did not. I'm living in the wonderful place of Idaho.
Oh, well, there you go. That's what I get for not prepping before we went on the air.
No worries. No, you know what? I relocated. My wife is a chiropractor, and she's going to help autistic kids out here in the Northwest. But that being said, got to love the internet, DirecTV, and all that other good stuff. But I get to watch the games as, you know, much as I can, but I do miss going all the time.
Okay.
Speaking of wives and wives and married life stuff like that, congratulations to Ian, who just got married. Dumbass.
Why would you congratulate him? That's a death sentence.
Oh, come on.
Ian, I'm in Idaho. You think I want to live in Idaho?
No, I do not. No, that won't be happening, though.
You'll figure out what we're talking about. Don't worry. It's all happy now. All right.
So one thing I wanted to talk about as far as this game goes from a live perspective, actually a few things. So, Mike, we've talked about on the show previous about what kind of give backs the Hawks are doing for the fans to try to, you know, it's kind of a make good for having the lockout situation. So they came up with a deal where they gave season ticket holders basically $100 in gift cards or gift certificates that you had to redeem at the box office within the first five games, first five home games, that is. And so when I was at the game, I printed out, you have to go online through Ticketmaster and print out like a voucher, take it to the ticket window, get your gift cards, and then you can redeem them for whether it be merchandise or food at any of at the stand. So that was
something. Beer?
Yeah, whatever you wanted. Food, beer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Food, beer, merchandise, whatever you wanted to do. Basically, it's the same as cash, but this on the bottom, and I think I tweeted you about this, it said that extremely explicitly, not redeemable for cash. You know, there's a lot of suckers out there who just want to go, okay? So I happen to be waiting in line at the concession stand waiting for my $9 chicken wings or chicken tenders ready, as I told you about that as well, and $8 beers, by the way. Let's not forget that point. And there's a guy next to me, a season ticket holder, who had his ticket in one of those Stanley Cup playoff lanyards as well, so we know he was a real hardcore fan. He had his ticket in a lanyard. Mm-hmm. So he tries to buy a Coke, which was the largest, $5.75 or $5.25 for a regular, quote-unquote, and then he's trying to redeem the rest for cash.
Oh, this is bullshit.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to cast aspersions on anyone's character, but obviously the people who are waiting on you are sometimes not the sharpest people there. And so it took them a few times to explain to this individual, even though it clearly said at the bottom, not redeemable for cash. He was somewhat angry, and they ended up having to void the sale. And he had to just pay cash. It was quite the scene over a Coke. Really held up the line, kind of pissed everybody off. But that's another story.
You know, this is the time where, like, Dan Bernstein gets pretty funny, where he goes in a meatball voice.
Yeah, well, I mean, this was just a, you know.
Hey, you gave me that voucher, I want cash. What are you talking about?
Yeah, the guy, when he was speaking, he sounded like that. I mean, obviously not in the meatball voice. He kind of had that slow drawl to him. I think the best way to describe him would be like Artie Lang, but just with not as fat and, of course, not on drugs, basically, if anyone's familiar with Artie Lang. Okay, moving on. And then one last thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's got to be the dick always sitting behind you. You always got that one annoying dick when you're on a power play and you're yelling, shoot! Shoot the puck! Shoot! I mean... They're fucking passed around a blue line yelling shoot.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that. There was even some people in the hardcore, quote-unquote, 300 level sections trying to get a Detroit sucks chant going late in the game against the Blues. Why? I don't know. Extremely stupid. Luckily, it did not get very far. I heard about it more from people on Twitter and what I heard on TV more than anything else. And then a couple other things. Tommy Hawk, once again, they're trying to get the crowd pumped up by banging on his drum or tambourine or whatever the hell it is he's banging on. Extremely annoying. Horrible. Please stop that immediately if anyone's listening from the Blackhawks. And then lastly, the ushers, you know how they always have like their wait for the whistle signs? You know, it's like a small little...
You know, it's pathetic they need those signs.
Yes. But, well, you know, it's funny because... Because I sit in 325, row 2, I'm right on the aisle, and there's technically no seat behind me, it's just like a step. So I have a very good view of the usher when I just turn off to just crank my head back a little bit. And they just kind of hold the sign while they're watching the game. They're really not focusing on stopping anyone, so you can just very easily walk past them. So they don't really serve a purpose, in my opinion, but I guess that's another discussion. But anyway, so the point of this was, so it's basically just a cardboard sign that says stop, whatever the hell it says on there. In the past, but now they've made it the Eddie Olczyk "Stop It Right Here" sign, and it has his face like you know, like the cutout of his face on the sign. Yeah, now I could be perhaps just not noticing it, and it's been this way for like 2 years now, but I have not noticed it up until the first game Tuesday night. So I guess it's somewhat funny and clever. Perhaps they're going to sell them, try to make money off them, which certainly would not surprise me with this organization, but dumb. Very dumb looking.
Hey, stop it right there. Ain't no whistle, stupid.
Yeah, and of course there were a few folks around us in their knockoff jerseys. You know, they have their fake China jerseys, and they have like, you know, they went to some, you know, Triple Threat Sports or somewhere, and they had Chelios put on there, Hall put on there. It looks stupid, but... All right, so that'll bring us to the last game in this discussion here. Last night, Thursday, January 24th, Blackhawks and the Dallas Stars in Dallas. Blackhawks win the game in overtime, final score 3-2. Goals in the game from the Blackhawks, all three power play goals. Patrick Sharp, Jonathan Toews, and the overtime winner was from Marian Hossa. Corey Crawford got the start and the win in this game. Chicago outshot Dallas 41-23. In the game.
You would think they would have kicked their ass with those stats.
Yeah, when you just look at that. But from what I saw in the game, the Dallas goaltender was extremely good. Had a lot of extremely great saves in this game. Trying to quickly look over these numbers here. But even just looking at this, I mean, Jonathan Toews had 6 shots. We talked about Brandon Saad. He had 5 shots alone in this game himself. And that's only in 12:54 of ice time here. So that was a little better. Hossa got 5 shots. Kane had 6 shots. A pretty good performance. Now, I kind of missed some of the games. I can't speak for some of the goals that Crawford gave up. I did see the one that kind of went by him with like 0.06 seconds or under a second that was in the period. But, Andy, let's go to you since we haven't heard from you for a few minutes here. What do you think about this?
Yeah, good. You know what? And Andy, go ahead, talk, and give me a summary on it, and I'll give my opinion. I'm going to go take a leak and get a couple beers over here, all right? This is the advantage of 3 guys.
Wow.
Thanks for that visual, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, bottom line, from the start to the finish, I'm going to win the game. It was one of those games where even when they scored and they were up 2-0, I was like, no. I'm like, you know what? Things are a little sloppy. You could tell the guys were a little tired. And it's kind of funny because during the game, I was riding Patrick Sharp, and mind you, Patrick Sharp is one of my favorite players. He was horrible last night, and he ended the night with 3 freaking points, which is absolutely hilarious. He couldn't garner or gather a pass of his life, counted on it last night. Everything he was playing soccer all night, yada yada. Anyway, I knew they were gonna win. I just knew it. They played a solid game. Crawford, in my opinion, gave up some weak goals. He should have gave up a couple more again with 1 minute, you know, on the shorty. And then, you know, Duncan saves him on that last one. You know, his rebounds, his kick saves, he just kicks them right in front, and he just, oh, I just have very little confidence in him. But however, I'm going to focus in on the good things. Nick Leddy, yeah, he looked like a chooch on one play. Gave up, you know, him and Roosevelt kind of, you know, were on the ice when they gave up that goal. But on the flip side, though, Nick Leddy played an awesome game. Duncan Keith, an awesome game. Jonathan Toews, awesome game. Just I was really impressed with these two players. With 1 minute left, the Stars are on the power play. And who are the two guys on the ice? Frolik and Kruger. And I was like, last year I would have been like, oh no, here we go. You know, another loss at the hands of stupidity. But they, you know what? Those two have been good. They played the PK just fine, and that's who Q put out. I was dumbfounded, but you know what? If that's what Frolik and Kruger can do for us and take minutes off our top-line players, so be it. All in all, I think the Hawks willed themselves to a really solid victory last night, one that will catapult themselves to have confidence as the season goes on, because you got to win these close games, especially on the road. You got to know that you can come back. That's like a resume you build on, and that's what the Cup team had, especially if you, Ian, you know, if you remember early in the season that Calgary game. I think we were down with 5-0 or 4-0, and we came back and won that game. Granted, this game wasn't dramatic, but yet 3 power play goals, and what was our Achilles heel last year? The power play and the penalty kill. And they both showed up last night. And we won the game.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good, Mike. I'm glad you're here. We didn't even hear anything in the background. Didn't hear you peeing in your bucket. Were you doing that this time?
No, I'm at the kitchen table, and the bathroom is like 15 feet away.
Oh, good. So you didn't need to relieve yourself there.
Dude, okay. I'm pretty good. You guys usually don't hear me pissing in a bucket, do you?
I think obviously they have, Mike. I'm so glad you invited me to this classy operation.
Yeah, because you know why? Because I don't give a shit.
Hey, he's turning over a new leaf this year, Andy. That's his resolution. He's not going to do that anymore.
Hey, man, you got to go. You got to go.
Sure. Did you hear what any of Andy had to say about the game, or do you have any thoughts on the Dallas game you wanted to get out?
I heard the end of it with, when they had Kruger and Frolik on a power play?
He's talking about they were out there late in the game on the when they were shorthanded. The
Hawks, on the kill, that's right, yeah, we're talking about there, on the kill.
Yeah, the Hawks only had 2 penalties in the game. Hossa had interference, and then Hjalmarsson had the penalty late in the third for tripping. And as I look over the box score here, yeah, even Marian Hossa only had 24 seconds on the penalty kill in this game. And then Stahlberg, had 16, full 153 seconds.
I couldn't figure out that penalty kill, but it worked. I'm not going to complain about that. That game looked overall, I mean, like you say, you look at the stats, and I put that on the Twitter account. It's like, man, you look at these stats, and you would think the Hawks kicked the shit out of them. And they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of that had to do with Leighton, and he was just unfucking believable. Well, the other part was, too, I mean, yeah, they did have some good scoring chances, but you know what? They were fucking shooting pucks right in his chest, too. I mean, not a lot, but, I mean, there were some saves that, I mean, there was a handful of saves there that were just shot right at him.
So are you saying numbers lie, Mike?
Yes, numbers lie.
It's your brother-in-law?
They lie. Like your brother-in-law. They need to.
Stat. Shots on goal are an overrated stat. Brandon Saad had 5 shots on goal, and all 5 of them were pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, that to a point, yeah, you like to see more shots on goal, meaning you have more chances, but that's saying they don't break that stat down into,
quality shots on goal?
Yes. Who didn't shoot the puck in his chest? Which the Hawks were doing a lot last night.
Hossa, that one that Toews fed him on, and he kind of, you could tell he feathered it too much. He put it right in Leighton's chest, and that's when he kind of skated up to Leighton and he had a conversation with them. And you know what he said? He's like, That was a pussy-ass shot. And Leighton was like, yeah, it was. But boy did Big Hoss make up for it, man. Wow. Was that an overtime winner?
I was saying last night, I was like, if he didn't score a goal this game, he was going to fucking snap. He should have had four goals.
Does anyone make the most, I mean, the Marian Hossa is an absolute joy to watch. And, you know, and I'm not, you know, I'm a total homer. I'm born and raised in Chicago. I love my Chicago sports. I have a tendency to hate everyone else outside of Chicago, except for a handful of guys that kind of win you over. And, you know, Hossa is one of those guys. Before he played in Chicago, it was like, man, this guy, I mean, you just appreciate talent, you know, similar to a Mario Lemieux, who, no offense to Gretzky, but I feel that in his prime, Mario Lemieux was a far better player than, you know, Wayne Gretzky. And you know, you watch, you know, Mario play, you're just like, wow, you know.
He had a full package. He didn't have two goons making sure nobody touched him.
Yeah, no kidding. But, you know, Mario and then, of course, the Yzerman, and you got the Sakics, whatever. I mean, Hossa's special. You know, you watch his body play. You watch how he boxes people out. I mean, you know, the way he works with his stick, he just chops people in half and takes the puck and blocks the puck. And, you know, he's well-coached. He's a coach's kid, it shows. You know, he's just an absolute delight, you know, and you know, the thing with Marian is sometimes you see the drop-off, I think, in that energy level where, you know, in order for him to play at that high level all the time, you know, it gets daunting, especially for hockey players. So it's going to be very interesting in this short and compact season, you know, is he going to be able to bring his A game every single night? You know, will fatigue
set? I think he's going to be able to. You know what? The guy that we saw was in the Stanley Cup Finals for 3 years in a row and never really got a break. And then he ended up getting mush brain, and he got more in a break than he really needed. I mean, this might be even in a shortened season, he might get the great Marian Hossa for the whole season. He finally got rested.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for, Mike, because if you look at our Cup team, what happened that year of the Cup team? We won the gold. Well, I shouldn't say we won the gold. Canada won the gold. That was a marathon freaking year for a lot of our team.
You know, everybody was 21 on that team, too.
Yeah, that was a balls-out, crazy hockey year. I mean, I remember looking at those guys at the parade. I mean, they looked like Kane and Keith and all of them. They looked like they lost 20 pounds and were all super gaunt. But they all played
warriors. Babcock ran the shit out of Keith, too.
So, yeah, so this year, with this compact season and the way the mentality that we have, man, I mean, it's one thing. We have a tough bunch of dudes. You know, I think we're set up for the sprint run, but do we have a goalie who can back us up? I don't think so.
No, you know what? And if there's no move made at goalie, I'm finally going to call it and say we got a lame duck GM. Because you know what? And this year, he better be drafting a goalie first round. Because you're pretty much set everywhere else.
We don't have a GM, Mike. We got a marketing jackass in McDonough and a financial guru in Bowman. We don't have a GM. I mean,
what about Daddy? Daddy's got to be doing something.
Nah, here's the deal. McDonough runs a show, and that's that. And, you know, based on a lot of what bloggers are saying and leaks that have come out, the Hawks are not highly thought of. He has three trade partners, and that's it. The rest of the league is not helping him out. So as soon as Rocky figures that out, he's going to replace these jerk-offs. And that's the beauty about the Hawks right now. You know, we have a really solid, strong owner. So McDonough needs to go back to just making, you know, knitting jerseys and putting names on jerseys. He should have nothing to do with hockey. Guy's a jerk off.
No, he shouldn't at all. But, you know, if McDonough is the big marketing guy, you'd think he'd want to make another splash, whether it's Luongo or not.
That's my problem. That's why if they trade for Luongo, they're the dumbest asses on the planet. Because
you know what? Guillory's men will buy into that because McDonough's not making these fucking stupid trades like they just made with Calgary. Bowman makes so many fucking stupid trades for a draft pick or for some fucking prospect. And McDonough knows nothing about it.
You're talking about the goalie trade?
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason why they made that goalie trade was because
Hutton
beat the living piss out of the... I'm probably going to get this wrong. I think it was Grand Rapids. Ian, do you know who they got into the brawl with?
Yeah, Grand Rapids, yeah.
That's
Detroit.
I don't know if you guys saw the video of that, but while I was watching the video, I was screaming, "Carter, stop punching him! You're gonna break your hand." Carter beat the living piss out of the other goal. I mean, it was a Southside beating like I've never seen. I mean, it was unbelievable. That was a very good brawl, and the Ice Hawks should be very proud of themselves because they handled themselves very well. But that's why they signed that guy, because you know Carter's out. He's got a hand injury. That guy is not going to ever see the NHL ever in his career, the guy they signed.
Well, you know, part of me in the back of my head, I haven't really put this to where this is what I want to see it, but there's a small part of me to hope there's like a little groin injury to Corey Crawford for a couple weeks, just so you can see Hutton up there and see what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how good he is. I know he's been doing good in Rockford. There is a big difference, but
his numbers are okay. He's at about a 9-10 save percentage, about 2.8 goals against. Last year, he was lights out second half. He really turned it on. You know, the Pigs almost made the playoffs just, you know, basically on his shoulders. He's very similar to Eddie Belfour, and then he's a late bloomer. You know, the thing is, though, is, there's so many goaltenders out there right now, and there's so many teams who need defensive help. And if Nick Leddy keeps playing at the level he's playing, he's a luxury we can't afford. He's going to be an RFA. I know for a fact the Hawks are pissed at his agent because he has the same agent as Suter, and they jacked up the price on the Hawks. The Hawks thought they were going to sign Suter. He went to, obviously, the Wild. So Nick Leddy is a huge trade chip, and if he keeps playing this well, we can go get a goalie for him. And that's what's very interesting to me is how that's going to play out, because there's no way the Hawks don't have the money to sign him either if he keeps playing at this level. So yeah, I think you're going to see a guy who's going to get dumped, and we're going to see if Bowman has any trade partners, which that's a problem if he doesn't. Like last year, you know, was a problem. I mean, he could have got Grabowski from Toronto, but supposedly you just kept asking for one more player. It turns people off. You know, he wants to make these big splashes like he gets over on people, but the best trades are trades that work out for both clubs, because therefore you have an avenue in the future, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can't take advantage of people. It's bullshit.
Yeah, well, he might have got one by on Talon, but Rusty Olish is one that Dale got by us.
Yeah, no kidding. Rusty is his knee.
Yeah, well, how long has that guy got left in the contract to make a couple million dollars a year to play minor league hockey?
2.5. 3.5, man. That guy is paid, yeah. And, you know, the thing is, though, is towards the end of last year with the Pigs, he really did turn it on. He was at over a point a game and playing really well, and he hurt his knee again. So not getting hurt's a talent. I've always said that, whether it be football, basketball, whatever. Guys who seem to get hurt more than not everyone has the same style of body, you know?
Yeah. All right. So we covered this Dallas game?
Yes, sir.
All right. Andy, what do you got in this Rockford Ice Pigs co-chair? What's he bitching about?
Well, the big thing that I'm seeing, and there was comments earlier in the year, especially when the strike, well, not the strike, the lockout was going on. Ted Dent's head coach of the Ice Hogs, and he's made a lot of sarcastic remarks into the media. You know, little tells here and there, kind of showing his hands. But he's on suspension after that brawl. And Barry Smith, which Mike, I know you're familiar with Barry Smith because, you know, they sent him in to fix the power play at the end of last year. You know, Quinville was pissed about that, right? So Barry Smith is on standby. And, you know, the thing that's kind of mixed up is, you know, Pulpst is the assistant coach and he should be running the game. And, you know, I got word tonight via Twitter from Chris Block that, you know, Barry Smith was in Ted Dent's spot yelling and basically manipulating and coaching the game. So, his hands are tied. You know, the Ice Hogs lines and everything are being, you know, passed down from the Hawks, which, I guess you can expect, but you got to let a coach do his thing, you know, and how he sees it, whether it be discipline or how guys are playing. But, Ted Dent has got no power. You know, it's all being called down from above.
That's interesting, but understandable. I mean, I'm sure Quenville wants to see certain guys play and, you know, wants to see them play together. He's got ideas. But, when a minor league coach starts bitching like that, it's usually when he's on his way out. And as far as I know, he hasn't done a bad job down there either. For what he's had, I mean.
You know, they're floating around 500. You know, they probably could be better if they had a little bit of better defensive play. But players like, you know, Dylan Olsen and Sean Lalonde and Kyle Beach, they're just not stepping up to that next level. However, players like Adam Clendenning are definitely stepping up. Brandon Free, he's a kid who plays really hard every night. And
he's a 4A player, isn't he? Is he a 4A player?
I think that's a good way to put him. He's a center, but I think that's probably pretty good right now. A lot of people think he's better than Kruger, but, you know, I don't know. You know, Kruger's really, you know, playing really well. So, but I think there's a couple players up there. You know, one of them is Paradise and Beach are one of the few player first rounders from their subsequent drafts that have not made it to the bigs. So what's going on in Rockford where we're not developing kids, right? Granted, you know, Paradisi came over in the Versteeg trade with Stahlberg. You know, high hopes for him, good size, you know, talented kid. Just he's not scoring. He's really not playing. He's the only kid in my draft who has made it to the bigs.
I'm not going to say that coaching or development has an effect on Kyle Beach, because Kyle Beach has one hell of a wrist shot. Problem is, his wrist shot didn't come with a brain. Yeah, I mean, that big brawl started with Kyle Beach. Imagine that. You know what, though? I'm seeing a bunch of dudes in pink jerseys. I'm like, come on, you don't think that all night those guys from Detroit are all yelling, hey, you guys are like a bunch of queers, a bunch of women, huh? Hey, you look nice in that pink jersey, queer, stuff like that. You know how that started. Well, hockey players talk shit on the ice all the time, and I'm sure that was part of it. But, yeah, it starts with Kyle Beach. Imagine that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you look at a guy like Jeremy Morin. He's got 14 goals, second on the team. You know, you got to remember, he was traded for Bufflin. You know, he was the big trade piece that we got for Bufflin. And I don't care how fat Bufflin is right now, I'll take him back in a second. You know, that's probably, you know, people bitch about, you know, Beach or whatever. To me, it's Morin. Morin is the guy that disappoints me more than anybody, because he's the guy that I thought would be a almost a can't miss prospect when he came here. Sharpshooter, very disappointed. You know,
but he's tiny. I don't know how big they list him, but he is tiny.
Tiny and concussed. To steal a Dan Bernstein line.
Yeah, I saw him. I mean, I was close up on the glass at a Wolves Ice Pigs game last year. In fact, I was at that game when he got turned over on his head, and I thought he broke his neck. That's when he got concussed. And I'm watching the whole game, and I was like, he is the smallest guy on the ice, but he's the fastest little bastard that puts himself right in the middle of all this shit, and he just gets the shit kicked out of him. I'm looking at this guy, I'm like, how? I don't see how he's an NHL player, because he's not big at all. What do they list him at? I know they list him at like 5'10". He ain't no 5'10".
Let me see, Mike. I got it right here. Let's see. He listed him at 6'1", 190.
That's bullshit. So
that has to be the skate on.
Yeah. That's on skates with lifts. That's bullshit. He was the smallest guy on the ice.
When I went out drinking with the team, I mean, like some of these listings, I laugh because I'm a solid 6'2". I'm 6'3", with shoes on. And let me tell you, Dave Bowen, Burrish, Keith, Sharp, they came up to my armpits. The only guy that looked me in the eye was Cam Barker and Brent Seabar. Brent Seabar. Bufflin was huge. Bufflin, his hands could have swallowed me. They were so damn big. I'm still pissed we traded him. There should have been other things to move around, not to give him up. I don't care how many Big Macs he's overweight. You don't give up a talent like that for a fucking Morin. Give me a break.
Well, the two guys I'm mainly upset about, one, Andrew Ladd, and, Bufflin,
second. Andrew Ladd was going because of money. You knew he was going to get money. He's the captain of Winnipeg. We couldn't keep him. But you know what? Buff, we could have kept Buff.
Yeah.
Wanted to quickly.
Yeah, and then sit him down half a season, let him play the playoffs.
Yeah, Kyle Beach is another one. You know, he's a dummy. What are you going to do? You know, he's a dumbass. Just be more excited about the Adam Clendennings. You know, and Ryan Stanton's looking pretty good. I'm hearing good things about Joe Lavin. Dylan Olsen, I saw enough of Dylan Olsen last year to realize that he is not NHL material.
Yeah, he didn't look too good.
But we do need goalies. Holy cow, they have Henrik Karlsson listed at 6'6". That has got to be a typo.
Who?
The guy we just traded for the seventh round pick, the Henrik Karlsson from Calgary, 6'6". 6'6", come on.
That's a big goalie.
It's got to be a typo.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly go back to what Andy was talking about earlier. I have found some of these quotes that he was talking about online from the Rockford Ice Hawks coach. It says, suspended Ice Hawks head coach Ted Dent after tonight's 2-1 home ice loss to Chicago. Quote, yeah, from up top, it's a different game. And then I guess he continued talking about how they're trying to play defensively, how they're trying to cut down on the penalties, and trying to scroll through Twitter. I could find the next one. He said, Dent also said the penalties were also discussed in meetings held Tuesday in Chicago with Blackhawks management. And then again, it says, quote, it's not going to be tolerated as an organization from Chicago in my conversations with them Tuesday night at the home opener.
Yeah, well, good luck with that, because you got a bunch of fucking cowboys in that team in Rockford. And all the goons the Blackhawks don't have, they're in Rockford.
And then a second ago, I know Andy was just talking about Ryan Stanton. There's a quote about him here from Dent. It says, quote, "It's no secret he's having a great year. He's playing exceptional hockey. But if there is one thing that would hold him back right now, it is, can he play without taking a penalty?"
Hmm. Sounds like Gal Secord.
Yeah. Well, how big is Stanton?
About 6'2".
I don't know
but
shit.
The thing is, though, is if you look at the defensive core we have now, I mean, if they keep playing the way they are, even if we trade Letty away, we're good. I mean, seriously, we are good. I mean, I like the mix we have. Re-signing Johnny Oduya.
Would you want to trade Hjalmarsson or would you want to trade Letty?
Hjalmarsson is only going to get better, and he's one of those guys where you guys forget he's young. He's still developing. He is not as good as he's going to be, and I'm starting to see it, especially some of the hits he's starting to lay on. Because that was a big thing before he came to the Hawks was, oh, he's got a big stick. He's got a big stick. He could hit people. And then when I saw him on the ice when I was at the United Center, I was like, he's a beanpole. Who in the hell is he going to hit? And you know what? The Swede might be finally filling out. There's no way you trade him. There's no way you let him go. You let him go, we're a shitty team. No. Hjalmarsson's here to stay. He blocks shots, does his dirty work, calm with the puck, poised. Him and Oduya together, a couple of Swedes, even though Oduya is a dark Swede, it's a beautiful combo.
Well, I agree there because I remember Duncan Keith sucked for about 5 years. Is it not true? Before the Hawks were good, he sucked. He was up here before all these guys. Duncan Keith was up here before Taze, before Kane, and he wasn't that good.
I was at the game when Brent Seabrook bit his leg paired with
breaking
Duncan
up, man.
Keith.
This sucks.
And I was watching ice with 2,000 fans. I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, you're breaking up. Really? You're breaking up on my end. Maybe it's my shit. Anyway, yeah, but Duncan Keith wasn't good he started getting good around, 2008? 2007?
No, dude. Duncan Keith's been good since about 06.
Oh, he was up for quite a few years before that, though, and he wasn't that good, right?
Well, you know, that's what I was saying. I was at the game when him and Seabrook were paired with one another, and Seabrook broke his leg his rookie year, and there's maybe 2,000 people in the stands. I mean, it was ridiculous. Duncan Keith is definitely a player that is he's going to retire a Hawk, there's no doubt. He's phenomenal.
Duncan Keith is one of those guys. He don't need much in life. I can tell that. Just give him some beer, some weed, some fishing. He's good.
Some weed, you say?
Yeah, why wouldn't he get high?
Allegedly. Why, yeah. I think you mean why would... Yeah, exactly. Sure.
Dude, if I didn't get DOT tested at my work, I'd be getting high every night. It's healthier than drinking.
Oh, boy. Mike, you're setting a poor example for the youth of America who listen to this show.
Oh, the youth shouldn't be listening to this show. Because I'm on it.
Mike, come on. I know for a fact there are children listening to this show. Please.
Nope. I do this show purposely when my kids go to sleep.
I'm not talking about your kids. I know other kids listen to this show. By God. They're a big fan. Big fan of the show. All right. Any topics of discussion or anything to get out there before we wrap it up here tonight?
Hey, what's going on this weekend? Yay! Yeah. See? Big reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been there for a number of years. I'm not much for autographs, so I don't really have a reason to kind of go to these type of things. And
me either. I would like to go there and tell Aaron Rowan he's a dick, though.
The only thing I saw about Aaron Rowan was, I guess he was trying to bust Beckham's balls for not knowing his the Knights manager, and Beckham was there, and I guess Gordon told him he was only for 7 games, so how would he know? And Rowan was like, yeah, how would I know? I was only for 7 games, buddy. I'm that good, so fuck off, you know?
Yeah, Rowan was there for, what, 4 years?
I don't know. Well, like, the way that the tweet was written kind of made it seem like it came across like Beckham was giving him the business, but possible that that's just the way my interpretation of it was, and not what the reality of the situation
was. Really, it was. Wally Backman at the time?
Yeah, I don't know who the hell it was. You know, it's
No. He was Double A, I think.
He's at Birmingham for a while. I don't know if it was what's the guy, Nick Levia, they had down there for a while. Charlotte, I don't know. There seems to be a lot of changes with the Knights down there. That's not a big topic of discussion, but. I don't know if we lost Andy. We're going to be having some technical difficulties on this broadcast. Hopefully when it comes through to the listeners, it's not that bad.
Andy, you there or what, man?
I'm here, guys. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, there's periods where I don't know if it's who's on the time. We're kind of getting some feedback, some interference here. But, so Hawks have started off 4-0. Off to a quick start, which is what we talked about when the season was going to be getting underway. It would be very important for the Hawks or any team in general, just to get off to a quick start, because obviously if you fall in a hole, there's really not a lot of games to make it up, and as we've seen a little bit here earlier, there's been a lot of three-point games being played, so good, very good. The Hawks are off to a quick start. Obviously, see if they can keep it up here. And then
48-0, my friend.
Never been done. First time for everything, yeah. Huh? Exactly.
Yeah, you know what? I'm very happy about the 4-0 start, but I'm not saying this team is 2010, I'm not going there.
I hate that kind
of stuff. I'm still going to wait and see. There's a lot of hockey to be played, and a lot of teams are going to figure you out. You know what? It's just going to be tough, too. I mean, these guys are going to be playing fucking 4 nights a week, and there's going to be injuries. You know, and you know what? Some of these minor league guys Andy was talking about tonight, we might see them guys up here. Because there's going to be fucking injuries. A guy's got a sprained ankle. He's not going to get that 4 days off like you would get sometimes. Yeah, you know, I'm very excited about it, but I'm not convinced the Hawks are going to be the team in the Cup, you know, out of the Western Conference.
Yeah, but on the flip side, though, I analyze the schedule, and we have a whole lot of Columbus on our schedule.
That's good. They should kick their ass tomorrow.
Amy will be real happy when Stubber scores 20 goals against them.
That's right. Yes, Stauber's going to light up Columbus, and Amy is going to be happy. We got to give Amy some shit. She's one of the loyal listeners from day one.
You know, we have this tough schedule coming up, right? You know, and obviously we're 4-0 already. And then we have that stretch at home. Guys, I'm not concerned about our road team. We've always been a good road team. Last year, we did not play well at home. And I'm worried that there's going to be a letdown. I'm worried that the guys might get ahead of themselves. This is a team that when things are going well, they have a tendency to take their foot off the gas. However, this Patrick Kane that I'm seeing, as the Hawks go, as Patrick Kane goes, the Hawks will go. He has everyone fired up. He looks like a man on a mission. If he could keep this up the entire way, we're going to be just fine. Again, obviously, health's always an issue. But I don't worry about that because you know what? You can't predict that. It doesn't matter. We're rolling 4 solid lines right now. The penalty kill looks good. I want the power play to look better. The back door is shut. I'm sick of that crap. Shoot the puck. Get the puck out to the point. Shoot it. Don't try to make this perfect play. And I think we're going to be fine. But I'm still, guys, I'm telling you right now, the Hawks will make a move for a goalie.
I would hope so, because until then, it's about the defense and keep the fucking puck away from Crawford. pretty much what it is. They did that the Hue way in 2010 until they finally gave the job to Niemi and figured out they can give him a little bit more. You know, Niemi's not, I mean, that year he got hot, but, you know, by far he's not the best goalie in the NHL. But obviously you can win a cup with him. Oh, damn it, suck we lost him, too. Had a homegrown goalie, you found, was he's a, hey, he's a Swede, right?
Yeah, Finn.
Finnish, yeah.
Finn, that's right, yeah. He's a Finn, they found him, had him for a year up here, and lost him. Thanks, Doug, dick. Bowman. Used to be my favorite Bowman. Player as a kid.
Bowman.
Yep.
Little boy Bowman needs to go bye-bye.
Well, part of that was because some dumbass signed Chris Schistenball UA to a $5 million cap hit deal. That part, yep, I blame Talon. I do blame Talon for the Hawks losing the Emmett.
Well, the Cristobal UA and the Brian Campbell deals were McDonough deals.
Really?
Yep. A lot of people know. A lot of people. That was
McDonough deal. Why the hell is Dale Talon? Why did Talon get fired for the cap hit then?
Because they didn't like Talon. He was a guy who wouldn't take McDonough's orders and told him to fuck off a number of times.
He didn't get along. Yeah. Yep. He didn't get along with McDonough. That was that.
Well, that would make sense. I mean, as far as finding talent, you know what? The Hawks have not had a guy like that since I've been born.
Stan Bowman was Talon's caddy. And now they put him as a GM. He's a chooch. He's not a GM.
You know what? And here's where that sounds valid, because do you remember what happened with Christopher Stieg, Andrew Ladd, and I forget who else. There was another one. Might have been Cam Barker, too.
Yeah, it was Barker for the qualifying offer thing. Yeah, it was Barker.
Yeah. The qualifying offers were not filed at the correct time. So it became free agents.
UFAs.
Instead of restricted free agents, and it cost the Hawks about $1 million more per contract. And, yes, it really fucked them, because all their guys, they took advantage of it. You know, their agents like, yeah, well, you know what? No, we'll take more money. And it really fucked the Hawks up, and they're saying that's why Talon got fired. But if you're an assistant GM, isn't that your fucking job due to paperwork? Wouldn't Stan Bowman be the guy to get that shit in at the right time? Hey, boss, we really need to get this shit in. Call me crazy, but that's usually what your secretary is for.
I'm just going to say, if they were looking for any kind of reason to get rid of Talon, then they either created a reason or they fell into a reason, and he's gone. Simple as that.
Yeah, and that's where it starts getting interesting. Where, you know, Talon gets blamed for cap, but I'm, you know, the more I think about it, the more I think he got a raw deal.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, the one thing, even you've seen it now, is he's very loyal to his guys, to his players, and he's kind of, you know, you can argue a little bit, he's kind of rewarded these guys a little too much money than they're worth, but that's kind of part of how the game, you know, the ultimate's really going now. And it's, I mean, in a cap world, you know, it's like you really can't, with the cap being what it is, you really can't afford to be the player's friend and give him extra money just because you want to be tight with them. But
was Campbell his deal, or was that McDonough, though?
No, I mean, I don't necessarily think it was a Campbell situation or a Campbell and Huey type deal. There's other contracts that were given out in that time period. I'd have to go back and kind of look through everything. But
Campbell, Huey, and the RFAs becoming UFAs, that's what really fucked the Hawks up in the cap.
Well, yeah, that and the fact that when they won the cup and Taves got some bonuses for winning the MVP and stuff like that, they counted against the cap right away. That's what hurt him, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and Campbell, yeah, you know what? They might not have won the cup without him. I'll give them that. Campbell's, he served a purpose. He was pretty good defenseman, not the guy we wanted for $8 million or whatever the fuck he got. But, you know, he was pretty much Duncan Keith with two hits a year he put on somebody. You know, he would do it twice a year. He would stand somebody up and just level their ass at center ice. And you would see it and you'd be, you know, you'd get up out of your seat and you're like, what the fuck? Where'd that come from? But, you know, when you sign a guy who's getting $8 million a year as a defenseman, you expect him to carry the puck up and knock the shit out of people. And Brian Campbell avoided every goddamn, I mean, he was going to get hit. He was giving up the puck. And that's what used to piss everybody off. And I'm wondering who signed that deal. Was that Talon or McDonough?
You never know. I mean, I think, it's, as Andy kind of said, a lot of that stuff points to McDonough.
If somebody knew the answer to that, it would tell a lot about the way the Hawks are being run.
Well, I mean, I don't even think you need those answers to see how they're being run. It's run as a marketing organization that happens to have a hockey team, that happens to be able to sell hockey at the same time. It's about making money. That's what it's about, like any sport is. And McDonough's a very shady character, as a lot of people, you know, especially the current season ticket holders, know. He's a sneaky guy, and he'll fuck you. Do whatever he's got to do to get more money for the team. That's all.
McCubb.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to bring up Cub bashing, but yeah, there's a lot of similarities to how the Cubs were run there under his tenure as president, and how the Blackhawks are looking at being run. Absolutely, yeah. I'm not sure if we still got Andy with us or not. I know we were some
here.
Okay, sorry, Nancy. I know we're having some connection issues here. I'm not sure whose end it's on, but. Let's kind of get ready to kind of wrap things up, unless you guys had something else you wanted to kind of get into. Andy, I want to give you a chance again to kind of get out either any kind of final thoughts you've got on the season early on, or if you just want to toss out your email or Twitter account, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, you can do that too.
Oh, yeah, you can get Andy. He's a good follow.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. My Twitter is bhawk17, and... I think the big thing here is that there's still some question marks. You know, we're 4-0. My big thing is a huge goalie question mark. You know, can Kruger and Frolik still play at this level? Can they play in the penalty kill? It's nice that we just didn't spend an hour and a half yelling about Brian Bickell and how bad he sucks. You know, it'd be nice if
that's irrelevant.
He keeps doing his prime dinosaur ways up and down the ice. You know, every once in a while he'll blast somebody that's really good. Will Brandon Saad stick? Will Carcillo, the myth of Carcillo, actually, come into fruition? I doubt it. I think it's worthless. But however, though, we have some serious line talent and guys that are really on the cusp of doing something really well. You know, Patrick Kane has not reached his potential. Jonathan Toews has not reached his potential. Victor Stahlberg has not reached his potential. Hammer, not reached his potential. We got a lot of guys that can really step up and have banner years to go along with the mainstays, Seabrook, Keith, Hossa. You know, it could be a really exciting year. Hopefully we stay healthy. Hopefully we improve the goaltending, and I'm really looking forward to it.
I agree to all that. No problem there.
So ditto, Mike? You're just saying ditto to his comments?
Yep. I don't disagree with that. You know what? And, you know, defensemen and goalies get a really bad rap. You know, but I'm still questioning Pat Foley why he keeps saying that Corey Crawford's having a great year. Well, yeah, he's had some lucky saves, and he's had those UA-type saves where he's looking away and a puck happens to hit him in a fucking leg pad. Shit like that. Or then you see the puck go through his legs, and it really irritates the hell out of you. But mainly, you know what? defensemen don't get noticed. And when you start noticing a defenseman, like Andy was talking about earlier, that means they're having a really good game or a really good season. And you could, I mean, Duncan Keith had a phenomenal game yesterday. And, you know, Hammer played damn good. Oduya, pretty good. Letty, really good. And but who really stood out, who had a shit game, Seabrook was pissing me off. Because when Seabrook looks bad, he looks lazy. And it really aggravates me because he doesn't fucking hit people the way he should for how big he is. And that's where I get pissed with Seabrook, and people get on me because I get on Twitter and I start ripping Seabrook because I don't think he's a player he should be. I think he's very overrated because women think he's hot. That's pretty much it.
You know what, Mike? I know you always got to have a bad guy. And last year it was Letty and Yalmerson, and I think this year we're seeing you bagging on Seabrook. Seabrook's solid, but when he's bad, he's terrible. And it's usually about early in his career, it was 1 out of 3 games. Now we're looking at maybe 1 out of 5, maybe 1 out of 7 games. So I take it easy on the big guy, man. I love it that he's on our team. He's a good guy. He's a good player, but I agree. When he's bad, he's got awful.
Do you know what makes him look bad? Duncan Keith. Because when Seabrook's guy burns Seabrook, he can't catch up to him in a bad game. Duncan Keith, if somebody else's guy burns Seabrook, Duncan Keith catches up to him because he's probably the fastest guy on the ice. And for a guy who's, what, probably 5'9", I don't know how big of a stick he's got, but he seems to get a stick in there somehow every fucking time. And you know what? Now this year, and I have bashed Duncan Keith, and you have, like, threatened our friendship over it when I fucking ripped him. You've gotten so pissed over it. And a lot of it was because...
It's documented.
And a lot of it was because Quenneville was overplaying him, and Duncan Keith was fucking burned out. You know, but and just initial fan reaction, it's like, God damn it, Duncan Keith looks like shit tonight. He got burned, you know. But the guy was playing fucking 40 minutes a night. But you know what? He looks like he wants that Norris Trophy back. That's the way he looks to me right now. I mean, he's, and Letty has played great. To me, the other night, Letty was the second best defenseman on the ice, only because Duncan Keith was playing the best defenseman you can be in the NHL.
How many players can carry the puck from behind the net and skate it all the way up and get a shot on goal? And very few. And Brian Campbell, that was one thing, you know, Brian was very good at. Letty is blowing by people. He's not, I mean, he seems to be taking it to the next level. But that being said, it makes, right now the way he's playing, he's a huge trade chip for a goalie, is what I'm trying to say.
The sad part about that is, you see the way, I mean, I saw one where the play I was talking about, where he took the puck deep, he took it behind the net and made a pass. Half the time, once he got past the blue line, he's got you know, one hand on the stick and the puck, carrying a puck, and he's taking his forearm and knocking people off. That's Marian Hossa shit there, man. That's Marian Hossa. You see what he does. Gets past three. When Hossa wants the puck in certain games, he's on a mission. He's going to get past three guys. He's going to forearm people. He's going to hip check people. He's still going to hang on to the puck. And no matter who you throw at him, he's going to get past you. That's the way Nick Letty looked the other night. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, who the fuck? Man, who's he been skating with? It looks like Hossa.
I know. Yeah, I agree. In the speed and the tenacity of the fourth line with Kruger and Frolik, we got some good things going, guys. But you know what? I'd love to talk to you guys in a couple weeks, you know, after we've been on the road a while and things normalize, and we'll see what we really got behind the net.
Exactly. That's why I'm not saying Stanley Cup champions just yet. I'm not comparing them to 2010. I mean, you know, 4-0 is really nice. 6-0 would be great. But, you know, we'll see what happens. They're going to come down to earth at some point.
We will see what happens on that. Mike, do you have any Twitter information you want to give out before we wrap up the show?
Yes. We have a shared account. Me and Ian get on that one. That would be Gloves Off, or at Gloves Off Radio. Most of the time it's me. Ian gets on there, but yeah. At Gloves Off Radio, find us on Twitter. You can find us on iTunes, right?
Yes, sir. Just go to the podcast section, type in the Gloves Off Radio. You can subscribe to the show there. And then, of course, whenever I upload them, they'll download automatically right to your computer. You can also find us and friend us on Facebook as well. That's something that Ken puts a lot of work into, posting stories on there, interacting with people there. So you can catch us.
You know what? I thank the people on Twitter. You know what? I want to get you people on Twitter. Why don't you go to the Facebook page and like it, please? Search for Gloves Off Radio and like it, because it's a little, you know, what? The Gloves Off Twitter account's been up for about 3 weeks. We got 170 followers. We don't have that many on Facebook. Get it there. Come on.
Yeah, I think it's a lot easier to like stuff on, just a lot easier to do it on Twitter than Facebook. But we will see. It could be because we usually give out the Facebook plug very late in the show. Maybe folks don't make it that long. I don't know. That's a separate discussion, though.
All right, hurry this up. I got to take a piss again.
Well, I've been trying to wrap it up, man. You got a lot of thoughts to share. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and sign off then. So for Mike, for our co-host Andy tonight, this is Ian signing off, everybody.
All right, thanks, Andy. Good show, man.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.